As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. In the NFL, as we all know, there is no margin for error. One single mistake can change the outcome of a game or even, yeah, a career. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Putting it all together, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL is Sleep Number, whose mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And you can have it too. I know all about it. I've been around Sleep Number since 2015. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. We can set the mattress firmness on each side of the bed to the way that we want and get a great night's sleep. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose, again, your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the lowest price of the season on the top-selling i8 smart bed. Your best savings plus special financing. Limited time. Shop a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
His own touchdown, Bo Collins!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jane Harrison hit the jet! It's a touchdown!
Yes!
Kickoff return!
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's truly unfortunate because I've been told by our head of officials in the SEC that you can't run 11 on 11 off.
Today's guests, CBS Sports NFL analyst Jason McCourty, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor O'Shea Jackson Jr., and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show back here in the Los Angeles studios. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen, thus the name of the show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this first Friday of 2025, but it is our last day not being on the Infinity Sports Network. Our terrestrial and satellite listening audience, listen up. Starting on Monday, you will be listening to us on the Infinity Sports Network. Check your local listings to make sure you get us. And if you've been listening to us on Sirius XM, we are switching up to Sirius XM channel 158, starting on Monday. You can stream us for free still on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Don't worry, we're gonna keep on sending this information out. We're very excited as our listening audience is about to expand, to say the least, and it means a ton for all of us that have been here on this program for 10 plus years to be back on a sports radio terrestrial network. It's going to be awesome, and I look forward to it. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm okay. What's up, man?
Good to see you. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Good morning, Rich.
And TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Good to see the candle lit.
Hey, welcome back, man. Good
Thank
to
you,
see
sir. You. Good. Yeah. I'm thrilled to be back. Listen, the circumstances under which the Sugar Bowl was played last night, both teams deserve major plaudits, kudos in their direction to have the start time slide to a different day, 18 hours delayed for the kickoff of the Sugar Bowl. So the circumstances for the players, as we all know, a pale in comparison to the circumstances as to the reason why the kickoff time was slid. But I just wanted to start with that, and again, to send all of our heartfelt prayers, wishes, and thoughts to everybody in the city of New Orleans. We're going to see you in about 30 days anyway for the Super Bowl, and we look forward to giving you a hug and being there for the biggest game in the world of football. Last night's Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame plays a physical, aggressive game of football. Marcus Freeman is built a paint swapping team that is well coached and can come downhill and hit you. And they play smart. They're situationally smart. And what they also are in having beaten Georgia is a semifinal team in the first ever 12-team college football playoff system. And what they also are in so doing is a perfect example of the world that we live in for college football as a newfangled 21st century new world college football team. And that's interesting since they are also the last team to have sign of a vestige of a throwback. Mm-hmm. Since they're an independent, they have no affiliation with any conference, which is not part and parcel of the 21st century newfangled world of college football. What they are, as I said, is a semifinal team, thanks to last night, 5 transfer portal players. If you take a look at Notre Dame, again, I wanted to give them their flowers as a well-coached team and unit. And obviously, it's not about individual players, but when you can go at Notre Dame from what they were last year to what they are now, and the quarterback that's leading the charge in Riley Leonard is a Duke player. Mm-hmm. And just take this sequence, for instance, to make my point about how Notre Dame successfully used the transfer portal to not only become the team that they are, but make it to the Final Four of the first ever 12-team playoff field. Take this 54-second sequence from last night's Sugar Bowl. This game is clearly a defensive battle with Gunnar Stockton, the backup quarterback for Georgia, showing that he's the backup quarterback for Georgia. And it's a 3-3 game. Notre Dame slogs its way down the field. Mitch Jeter kicks a 48-yard field goal, his second of the game. He's a transfer from South Carolina. And then Notre Dame kicks the ball off. Georgia decides to, with half a minute left on the clock, and even though their young quarterback has not shown much of an ability to move the football, I don't blame Kirby Smart for saying, let's try and make some hay here. Clearly, it's a defensive battle. You could sneak 3 through the uprights before the end of the half with Notre Dame starting the second half with the football. You give it a shot, even if this kid has not shown very much. You never know. One play, boom, you're in field goal position. Instead, disaster happens. Mm-hmm. R.J. Oben sacks Gunnar Stockton. R.J. Oben was Riley Leonard's teammate on Duke last year. And the kid had 0 sacks for Notre Dame this year until this moment.
Wow.
Go figure that. And with 33 seconds left in the half, Notre Dame has the ball deep in Georgia's end. And what do they do on the next snap? Riley Leonard of Duke from last year throws over the middle to Bo Collins, a transfer from Clemson. Touchdown. Extra point kicked by the transfer from South Carolina, Mitch Jeter. And then, after what felt like the usual 15-year-long halftime for college football, because we got to have the pageantry and then, I don't know, were there people, I didn't watch, were there people shoving, you know, a shovel, you know, chest passing footballs through a soda can?
I did not watch halftime.
Okay.
No.
after that, kickoff, Jaden Harrison, a transfer from Marshall.
Peace.
Turns into the 21st century of Rocket Ishmael. And returns at 98 yards for a touchdown to open the second half. Longest touchdown return in the history of Notre Dame postseason football. Second longest in the history of the Sugar Bowl. And that 54-second sequence with the extra point kicked by the transfer from South Carolina, Mitch Jeter. That's how you win football games in the 21st century, where you get the kids from another school. If they want to transfer, that makes you better. Notre Dame is a throwback because these kids, you know how to get past the provost in South Bend, Indiana. So they have a little bit of the old school way of doing things and a lot of the new school way of doing things. And then on top of it, they are extremely well coached. Perfect example, Notre Dame in the fourth quarter goes for it in midfield on fourth down. They are stopped. They stopped Georgia on downs, by the way. The last three possessions of the game for Georgia were turnovers on downs. So the defense was doing its job for Notre Dame. And after Notre Dame goes for it, as I mentioned, on their own 50 and don't go for it, they wind up pulling a little bit of a trickeration on their next possession in their own end. Let me get this actual marking of the, let me get this correct. This was at the top of the fourth quarter. Notre Dame sends its, in the third quarter, pardon me, Notre Dame sends its punt unit out. Timeout is called by Notre Dame. Then what ends up happening is they put their offense back out there. Georgia jumps off sides. Notre Dame gets to keep the ball. Smart stuff. You'd think they wouldn't try something like that after they couldn't get it beforehand. Marcus Freeman describing it and Riley Leonard interjecting. Hit it.
That's got to be one of our edges, right? Is that we are going to be an aggressive group and not fear making mistakes, not fear, hey, it didn't go your way. We went for it on fourth and one. We didn't execute. Okay, here we go, defense, and they got to stop. And so that's how I want this group to attack our preparation and attack performance when we have the opportunity.
Real quick, he's being humble. That was completely his play, and we were going to do it a different way like 2 days ago. And then he flipped it, and we executed it that way, and it worked.
It's our
play.
So
he's being humble like all throughout the year. All right, yeah, you know this guy, but I'll say it for him. Great call, great execution.
Fun stuff from this team, right?
Someone needs to make Marcus Freeman an NFL head coach.
Well, you want him now? It's kind of funny because they're – You know where he went to school, right, Marcus Freeman?
I don't.
He went to Ohio State.
Oh, interesting.
And that's all I heard from a bunch of Buckeye fans after the aftermath of November 30th. That's one of our guys. Maybe we should get him. But that, as you know, ship has sailed because now everything's all hunky-dory in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah,
but it is. You just got to be wondering what a certain friend of the program, to be straight up, is sitting there on the campus of Baton Rouge right now. Because don't forget, this guy kind of got thrust into the gig because Brian Kelly left for LSU and shocked a bunch of people in so doing. And look at what he has done with the opportunity. And you know that's got to resonate with his kids. Like, when I tell you kids about opportunities and what you can make of it, he's leading by a shining example. So kudos to Notre Dame. Moving on, Georgia out. And we will discuss later on how all four bye week teams are gone and every single home team in the opening round of the playoffs have moved on to the Final Four and what that means for the college football playoffs. And I want to discuss it with you guys here in studio and with everybody at home at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But before we do, just now that I have been extremely professional and handing out the flowers to Notre Dame, I want to take a moment for myself and just share with everybody what I'm feeling right now as a Michigan Wolverine. I will say this. With Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Penn State all making the Final Four, the only team missing is Michigan State to complete the four horsemen of the college football apocalypse for us in Ann Arbor, Michigan. To have these three teams vie for the right to succeed Michigan as a national champion. is, quite frankly, tough to swallow. Not going to lie. Watching Penn State and Notre Dame play each other is going to be a hate watch.
You're rooting for the media.
It's going to be a hate watch.
Yeah.
Well, that nothing compared to the winner of that potentially against Ohio State. That's going to be like me watching the Red Sox take on the Mets in 1986, where I'm like, can both teams lose? Is it entirely possible? Can both teams lose? So in that regard, seriously, Michigan State would be, if you had to ask me, hey, Rich, or any other Michigan Wolverine fan.
Worst case scenario.
Not a worst case scenario. Name me your four teams you hate the most.
Oh, I see.
Name the four biggest rivals of the University of Michigan. Name the four teams you least want to lose to. You would choose Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, and then Notre Dame. But we don't play them anymore because they ran away from us and ended our series that we used to start the year against each other. Maybe Marcus Freeman would take us back. I don't know. I think, again, the next time they were playing is in the 2030s, correct? Didn't they announce that years ago?
Next meeting is 2033.
Yeah, that's right. We used to do it every year.
Yeah.
And this happened so long ago, I believe it was Brady Hoke who called them chicken for running. That's how long ago this thing was set up. Yeah. So I'm just saying, all right. Huh. I'm with that minister, man. I'm with the minister. I'm rooting for Arch, not just for your trading card. Straight up. For every last one of us who wears maize and blue, the only one missing is Michigan State. It's a shame that they're not there.
Yeah, it might be a while for them.
Yeah. So, just pointing that all out right now. to be succeeded by any of these teams. Yeah, no. Hey, but at least Notre Dame is the only one of those teams that's on a winning streak of longer than two games. Because, as you know, Texas lost to Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Right.
And Penn State lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. And then remind me why Ohio State's only on a two-game win streak.
I forget.
Oh, God. Just when I was beginning to learn the Oregon fight song, now I got to learn the Texas one.
Yeah. Got to switch.
Yeah. Right?
Bevo.
Or you could be above the fray. Look, you're a defending champion.
I was above the fray for the first 11 minutes of this show, sir.
Just saying.
And just look at the reel that we put out yesterday and the videos that we put out yesterday. Me talking about how the Ohio State, looks like the best team remaining, and they're playing like a national champion.
Yeah, we could just leave it at that.
I can say these words professionally and mean them, because it's the truth.
And mean them.
I know, right? I can point it out that Jeremiah Smith's unguardable. You can't mark him unless you're Chip Kelly on November 30th.
See what I'm saying, Chris? Like, we didn't have to go there.
Well, I pointed out, Ohio State doesn't care about that game anymore.
Oh, no, that's not.
They just want to win the national championship.
I disagree slightly.
By the way,
I think they might.
I was texting Breer and the money manager to the Stars, who I'm on a text chain with frequently, one of a handful of Ohio State people, okay? And I'm like, so you don't want Marcus Freeman anymore, right? Like, I know you went to your school, but you don't want him anymore, right? I mean, because you're Ryan Day people now, right? I mean, like, he's your guy now, right?
Rich, just know that Please. They have a separate chat that
all
you're not
the,
on. I
all
promise
the
you.
Leopard face-eating Buckeye fans right now. It would be great if it's Notre Dame versus Ohio State in that regard. If some one of their own stands in their way. With all the portal guys and their portal guys, all the portal guys and the NIL guys that they have. All right. See, I had to get it all off my chest.
You feel better?
But at least I didn't lead the show that way,
that's
right?
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. That's progress. Progress.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank
progress.
You. Thank you.
New Year's resolution?
No. No, it's just the professional I always am.
You showed incredible restraint on this New Year day.
I don't even know. If it's Ohio State versus Notre Dame, to hear it from the Ohio State people.
Are you going
to
watch? Would you even watch?
Of course I'd watch. Eh. But the worst one would be if Notre Dame wins and then that guy over there all of a sudden. Gosh. Oh, my God, Mr. Notre Dame, Mr. Rudy times Joe Montana.
Yeah, but guy, in Mike's defense, and I hate this, that is the only team that we do know for sure he really does like.
Is that right? Really?
Hey, Mike, bring in your diploma.
He doesn't have that. You don't have to have that.
Right.
Most Notre Dame fans don't. Yeah. Didn't
I
go
have
there.
One thing to say, and I'm just going to stop because I might have said a word. I've liked Notre Dame longer than all of you people have liked your teams.
That's true.
Or your school.
That's true.
Mike, I saw Notre Dame. Thank you, TJ.
Okay.
But yes, I don't have a diploma, but my sister went there, my nephew went there, and my father loved that team. And I love them.
The Newt Rockne of the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Del Tufo.
Win one for the Del Tufo.
Let's take a break. Or for the squirrel. We'll take a break right here.
Little Jerry.
Oh, yeah. My friend, you're tight with people and you spend 10 days in Frankfurt, Germany with them. Jason McCourty next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Welcome to the jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You, the clones. It all starts with the jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in, let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back on the Give Them Lala podcast.
No, I have a very short fuse.
Get to know the TV personality.
I don't need to watch the show because I get the real life version.
From relationships and motherhood.
Let me tell you something about breastfeeding.
To business and beyond.
You are scared of failure, so it prevents you
from trying.
This is where we implement a big set of ovaries. And then we obsess.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Sarah still out of town, or was she back in time for the Sugar Bowl too?
No, she watched it up north. They're on the road right now.
Okay.
Very excited for them to be home.
How's she take it?
I think she kind of was expecting it with Beck being injured. So,
man.
It's okay. That's tough. Kind of a bummer play too, the way Carson Beck got hurt. It was like the Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
Right.
Kind of a fluke play, fluke injury. So,
do you think it would have been any different?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, for sure. You don't want a guy making his first start in a playoff game.
That's called suboptimal.
Suboptimal, yeah. I don't know. I guess hindsight's 20/20. Would have liked to have seen them kneel out the half, go in 6-3, you know, kind of regroup.
But that's why I wanted to include that at least in my commentary. Because I know Kirby Smart was asked.
He was, and you know, he's talking about being aggressive and trying to steal 3 points.
Right.
30 seconds is still a lot of time.
Well, let me
ask
this question. Again, we're not tape heads here. We don't have the all 22. Was that Stockton's fault? Did he not see him? Did he not slide a protection because of him?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or was it just a, damn it, great play by a kid who had double-digit sacks in Duke last year, but zero this year, and, of course, he comes up with his first one in a forced fumble.
Yeah. And you know, and
like disaster strikes.
Right, and you're hoping to open the second half with, all right, we get a 3-and-out, we get the ball back, get some points, it's a one-score game again, and the kid makes a house call. So
what if Stockton throws it over the middle 20 yards, and then suddenly you're in position for a Hail Mary or even a long field goal?
Right. They had the ball inside the red zone a couple of times and came up empty in points. It just wasn't their day.
I don't blame him for a 6-3. You can maybe steal three.
Right. But 6-3, like, this is a game.
You're
like,
not
let's
expecting
just go to
a
half.
Forced fumble to happen.
No,
disaster.
Of course not.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Again, when you spend 10 days in Frankfurt, Germany with somebody, you bond. And I bonded with this guy, and I miss him. And he is NFL Network's loss in so many different ways. Now with CBS Sports, and see him also on ESPN, Jason McCourty. Good to see you again, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's always good to see you, Rich.
I know. I you know, listen, when you bond over waffles and smoothies in a, by the way, nothing beats a European hotel breakfast buffet. Right, Jason? That's the greatest.
Absolutely. And then when you can eat pretzels all time of the day, it just makes for a better trip.
Yeah, because the calories don't count overseas, right? You know, the exchange rate is actually helpful.
Exactly.
Let's just jump into the game of the week, Minnesota and Detroit. How do you see that one playing out, Jason, on Sunday night?
Obviously, for Detroit, with being so banged up defensively, they're going to have to put up 30, 40 points in this one. So the key matchup I'm looking at, everybody's talking about the Lions defense. I want to see what Brian Flores does against Jared Goff, because as great as his defense has been, Goff has been able to figure it out. When he's brought pressure, he's been able to hit his receivers, hasn't turned the ball over. I think it's like 77% completion rate. So I think that's the game within the game of how Flores attacks this. We know week in and week out, that scheme can change, but he loves to blitz. He loves to bring pressure, and Goff has been able to figure that out. So as much as we love this Vikings defense, I want to see what Goff is able to do. And with those guys, the Vikings have a ton of Pro Bowlers, the two outside linebackers, Byron Murphy got named there. So that's the matchup that I want to see, especially with Ben Johnson calling those plays.
Yeah, man, he's gotten in his bag too, right? Stumble Ruski one week, next week, that hook and ladder that hits with Jamison Williams and I think you're right. They got to get deeper into that bag because, you know, I guess we'll see. Can a team make the Super Bowl and win it, winning 40-30, right? Like, that's basically that they have to do that.
Yeah,
right?
And the formula they showed it against the 49ers, come up with two or three takeaways. That can be the difference. Kirby Joseph's two interceptions in that game was literally the difference, because it gained them two extra possessions that they were able to score on. So it's not going to be the ideal way. I'm a defensive guy. I love to go out there and see guys shut other people down. But Aaron Glenn's an aggressive play caller. He's not going to change. They're going to play man-to-man. They're going to come after you, but they just don't have the guys. Anzalone being back should help with him kind of returning from injury. But they're going to have to put up those 40 points. And I will say, Ben Johnson has proven that he can do it. I don't know how deep this bag is, but he continues to go in there and keep pulling things out.
Well, give me a defense that can send the Lions home. You know, will we maybe be see one on Sunday night? Obviously, it wouldn't send the Lions home. It would send them away. But yeah. I'm also returning to just the playoffs, who the Lions might see in the NFC. I mean, the Rams are young, haven't really done it together in the playoffs as a unit yet, but they have been on quite a roll since giving up 42 to Josh Allen. You've got the Eagles with them. You're nodding your head. Is that the defense you would choose in the NFC?
Yeah, Jason? That was the first one that came to my mind, just because of how deep they are from front to back. You look at the ability of Jalen Carter and how he penetrates up front. And then the way Zach Bond has played this year of just coming downhill and making play after play. But a lot of it has to do with their secondary. I think when you're as deep as they are and you have guys at every position. And look, this is an Eagles team where last year adversity hit and they kind of fell apart. And this year we just continue to see them respond. I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson gets tossed from the Washington Commanders game. And you got to learn your lessons. You got to be able to rebound. The next week he comes out and gets two interceptions, one for a pick six. So I think this is the defense and how they're able to pose a threat at every level. I think for me, looking at that NFC, they would be the ones that I would choose that jump off the page for me.
Well, you and Andrew Catalan and Tiki Barber have the call of Eagles hosting the Giants. I'm just thinking you probably haven't had your broadcast meetings yet, right? Are you going to have them?
No, not yet. Okay. We'll meet with Philly on Saturday.
Well, because again, I'm sure first question of Sirianni, if you don't mind me suggesting, will be about his decision to sit Saquon and what did go behind that decision. Saquon did talk on Wednesday about having a conversation that Sirianni asked him point blank, do you want to do it? And clearly, you know, I think Saquon would want to do it, but it doesn't look like he's going to get a chance to do it. Your two cents on that subject matter, Jason?
Yeah, as a fan of the game, I would have loved to see him go out there and attempt to set the record and work in the game. Being up in that booth, you have a game where, I guess, wins and losses, it doesn't really matter. Both teams are set up where they're going to be other than the Giants and their draft position. So that gives you something else to talk about. And then the fact that Eric Dickerson said he doesn't want him to get it. I would have loved to have been on that call where he was actually able to get it. And then the piece with Tiki Barber's on the call, all-time Giant great. When Saquon left, we see everything that transpired there with that part of it. So I think I saw what Saquon said. Like, at first he was kind of like, man, forget about the record. Then you go home and you sleep on it and your name is etched in the record. But for as long as Dickerson had that record, who knows the next time that somebody's going to come this close to be able to achieve it. So, yeah, personally, I would have loved to see him go out there and do it. But from a grand scheme thing, I understand it. You're trying to get healthy. And what I've said to people is if Saquon goes for that record, that means the starting offensive line has to play. That means you're probably going to play your receivers on the outside because that helps open up the run game, knowing that you can't leave Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown open. And then if everybody on the offense is playing, do you sit your defense? So it's a way bigger conversation than just Saquon playing and going for the record.
Jason McCourty here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's kind of wild, man. Last year when you and I with Dan Orlovsky were in the booth in Frankfurt, Germany for Chiefs and Dolphins, the conversation was, well, who have the Dolphins really beaten yet? And then we wound up still asking that question by the end of the year. And then the Chiefs, it was the beginning of their issues scoring in the second half. And that led to a narrative all season long of, yeah, well, are they going to ever really be able to flip the switch to repeat? And we got the answer. And it seems like, again, another season of wondering if a flip of a switch is going to happen for a three-peat. And it looks like they've already flipped it, Jason. I'm not going to lie. It looks like they're finishing up strong enough here. I would love to get your thoughts on that subject matter.
Absolutely. And it almost seems like it's not fair. You looked at him all throughout this season and you're saying, well, it's going to be the tackle position that holds them back. There's no way they can win a Super Bowl with what they have on the outside with Wanya Morris and Suamataia. They're not going to be able to figure out that left tackle spot, Juwanta. And then they just move their all-pro guard, Joe Tooney, over to left tackle. And he just has to block Myles Garrett and all of these Max Crosby and all of these guys and then gets Watt and Highsmith. And he just continues to hold down the fort. And I agree with you. You get Hollywood Brown back, Jalen Watson. He's just been their cornerback on the other side. He's just been activated to come back from IR as he opens up his practice window. It seems like everything is clicking at the right time. And the more I watch the Kansas City Chiefs, the more I continue to say to myself, there's so many teams throughout this league that they find ways to lose games. We look at it every single week. Matt Eberflus is no longer in Chicago. We criticize everything that they were doing at the end of the game. Raheem Morris just lost a game where he said in retrospect, he probably should have used his timeout. And you just look at the way Kansas City wins football games. The Raiders have them beat. They fumbled a snap at the very end of the game. They block a field goal kick against the Denver Broncos. They are not going to lose the game. They're going to go out there and make the plays in crucial time. And that has a lot to say about Andy Reid and his coaching staff. They figure out ways to win. And now everything is starting to click. They're getting healthy. It's scary hours, I think, for the rest of the league because we still haven't seen the best from that man this season, Patrick Mahomes, those signature deep throws and all of that. He continues to show up in the clutch moments, but, man, Kansas City, they're looking a lot better now as the season's coming to an end.
Yeah, the next time we see 15 will be in divisional playoff weekend, and we'll have to obviously wait and see who they're going to get. In the meantime, part of the wait and seeing is that 7 seed in the AFC, and, you know, with all due respect to Denver and Miami, I would proffer to say the 6 teams that are in the tournament for the American Football Conference right now at least like to see Joe Burrow and the Bengals show up in their building. So I will ask you this. We need to see the Bengals beat the Steelers first for the Cincinnati to make it, and then they need both Denver and Miami to lose. Denver and Miami take on the Chiefs and the Jets together in the late window on Sunday. If the Bengals lose on Saturday night, the Dolphins can get in. If the Broncos lose, obviously, if the Broncos win, the entirety of my setup is totally moot. They're in. My question for you is, what do you think happens? You have to choose for me, Jason McCourty. The seventh seed for the AFC playoffs will wind up being, fill in the blank, please.
Well, I like the Bengals to win, so I think Sunday is going to matter that much more.
Okay.
I think at the end of it, I think the Broncos are going to be the team that gets in. I do think they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they had them beat when the Chiefs were at full strength and got that field goal blocked. So I look at this, the Chiefs aren't going to play a lot of their guys. I think with Sean Payton, he finds a way to win this game. But I agree with you, Rich. I think the Bengals are the scariest team because of what Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and those guys offensively have been able to do. The fact that they even have a chance at the playoffs with how bad their defense has been this season gives a ton of credit to them. And I would love to see Burrow get in there. But I honestly don't think it's going to happen this year.
That said, who's your MVP then, Jason McCourty? What do you
Josh guess? Allen. Josh Allen. And I think if Burrow, if they had the wins, then yeah, he'd probably be at the top of the list. I think he's in the conversation, but I don't think a team with 9 wins, I don't think the MVP should come from their team when you look at what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley even have done this season on winning football teams. So I have Josh right now. I think narratives matter as much as people want to remove it and only look at the stats and look at this and that. I think with the Buffalo Bills, when you looked at it this offseason and Stephon Diggs is traded to Houston, and you're saying, well, you know what? This is going to be kind of a reset for the Buffalo Bills. They lost Poyer. They lost Hyde. So many guys on the defensive side of the ball that they're going to try to restructure and figure things out. And the next thing you know, we're looking at a team that had their division wrapped up, it seemed like, the third week of the season with how the rest of those teams have played. And Josh has been an instrumental part, spreading the ball around and doing the things that he's done this year. He's made history as well. So right now, I definitely would say it's Josh Allen.
And so the best team that you have seen with your own two eyes, this is week 18 for you too, going around the country, going around the NFL for CBS. And what do you think? Who do you think? Who's the best team that you've seen in person with your own two eyes there, Jason?
I would say the Baltimore Ravens. We got them, and they were playing the Giants coming off their bye week. But you just could see a different tenacity. Talking to Lamar Jackson before that game, that was when they had lost to Philly, and he said he wanted, his mom told him to run more. And you're talking to him about MVPs and records and historically how good this offense is, and you could tell all he cares about is winning. And you can, the way that everybody talks about him, Zay Flowers, I went out to eat with Kyle Van Noy the night before the game, one of their leaders on their team. And he just said Lamar's one of the best leaders he's ever been around. His ability to connect with people and his ability to get guys to want to play for him and go out there and play at their absolute best. So I would say it's the way the Ravens are playing right now. Derrick Henry these last 2 weeks has looked unstoppable. So the Ravens, especially now that their defense after that Bengals game, they had their meeting and figured some things out. The Ravens, to me, are the best team I've been able to see in person.
So now I got to put it all together because you say Josh Allen's your MVP and the Ravens are the best team that you've seen. And again, you haven't maybe seen all of them. Mm-hmm. Which one do you put your marker on? If it's neither of them, you can to go into Arrowhead and end a three-peat opportunity. Jason?
Well, the Ravens were my team to make it to the Super Bowl from the beginning of the season, and I'm sticking with that. I think this is the year for Lamar. I think they'll be encouraged to run a little bit more if they get in that AFC Championship game again. And I think the difference has been, well, as I see Derrick Henry just staring at me, I'd be terrified with that person coming at me. But I look at what they've been able to do with Kyle Hamilton playing in a deep part of the field, or Darius Washington, and then how well Marlon Humphrey has played. I think it's going to be their year.
Okay. So then who was your MVP? Who was your NFC team for the Super Bowl?
I'm rolling with the Eagles. I think they're going to be the team, as well as the Vikings, Lions, and everybody's playing. I think Philadelphia can come out of it on the NFC side.
Was that your preseason pick as well?
No. Preseason, I had the Lions. But the injuries, man,
you're
defensively,
off.
I think is the toughest thing to overcome. Like you said earlier, to keep winning at that clip, to have that much pressure on the offense, to have to win and put up that amount of points each and every week, and especially depending upon what happens come Sunday night.
All right. Hey, Jason, watching you do your thing and certainly watching you on ESPN, I'm shaking my head because, you know, I'm just disappointed that, you know, you're not with NFL Network anymore, but I'm also nodding my head because I'm seeing you do what I know you can do, and what you're doing is awesome. You're really terrific. And
I really appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you, Rich.
I appreciate you saying that too, but you're awesome, and I just love watching you. Just your star keep rising. You deserve it.
Appreciate that. Will do, man.
You got it. That's Jason McCourty right here. Everybody check him out with Andrew Catalan and Tiki Barber and A.J. Ross on the call of CBS's coverage of Eagles-Giants in Week 18 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There goes Jason McCourty
right
to the rest of his January day. Yeah.
Eagles-Ravens. That'd be fun.
Please. Please. You know, obviously the Ravens' last Super Bowl in New Orleans, they went, they won it. It was the Harbowl.
True.
So that was Ed Reed's New Orleans homecoming party, right? Ray Lewis's farewell. So that would be an interesting, and then if I'm not mistaken, will you look it up? Did the Eagles' first Super Bowl appearance with Vermeil and Jaworski, was that in the Superdome? Why does that ring true to me?
Against the Raiders, right? I think it was.
Wasn't it Jaworski versus Plunkett in a dome? Wasn't that it?
It was.
Yeah.
Look at you, Rich.
So kind of that would be an interesting sort of nod to the past, two teams, but the Eagles did not win that one. The Ravens won theirs. And it would be fitting. It would be an incredibly fun Super Bowl. With all due respect to the other teams' fan bases, that would be bummed that they're not there.
That would be a real fun Super Bowl.
You know? Oh, boy, oh, boy. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Still to come here on the show, Tom Pelissero with the latest on hot seats and things of that nature. And the other star of No Contest Wrestling, O'Shea Jackson Jr., comes in as a guest in support of Den of Thieves 2. And at least for him, the Lakers coming off a win too, right? Right?
A rare one.
Okay.
A rare one.
That would be helpful for him.
A rare dub for him.
Does he want Jimmy Butler? Because Jimmy Butler has raised his hand saying, I'll go somewhere. That's still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Eggle, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this.
I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Flacco, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppy giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, desire was there, and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story, never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually you're, I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that.
He sees
play,
holding.
Which is fine.
Eli, what do you say to that when he says
holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. I'm just like, all right.
They
let them run in. Dallas gets sacked by all four players. They kind of just blocked them off. I think it's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the grass, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant.
I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. You are your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online. There's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. I just was looking at my NFL Network email during the break, and Mike McDaniel just called Tua Tagovailoa's chance to start Sunday, quote-unquote, very unlikely, meaning it's Snoop Huntley's turn to try and get the Dolphins in the playoffs if the Broncos lose to the Chiefs at the same time. Again, the Bengals playing the Steelers on Saturday night have no bearing on the Dolphins at all. The bearing on the Dolphins is what's going on in Denver. Because if Denver loses and Cincinnati's having already lost, then Miami losing would put Denver in. So Snoop Huntley's going to have to play this game. It looked very unlikely. A hip injury for Tua. Mm. Does that mean if they make it that Tua might not go in the playoff game for a second straight year? I mean, or 2 out of 3 years? Remember that? Skylar Thompson had to play one time?
Right. That's not great.
Jalen Waddle's playing status. McDaniel said he's feeling optimistic in a positive fashion. How about that? We got to talk to Mike. That's not in the cliche department. Because if you're optimistic, you're positive, right?
Yeah, positive is optimistic. Optimistic is positive. Yeah.
Meanwhile, how about this for a little plot twist? T.J. Jefferson. Apparently, Jerry Jones spoke to 105.3 The Fan today as well.
Oh my goodness! Keep talking, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering if I'm wondering if that's because he's not doing it next Tuesday because they will be in the throes of having to figure out what to do with Mike McCarthy, which we'll talk about in hour number two with Tom Pelissero, who's about to join us.
When will this madness end?
Land just a little bit.
And
never, TJ.
Jerry, by the way, McCarthy's contract does not run out till January 14th.
Oh, so we got another.
So what that
11
means?
Days of this.
What that means is no decision.
Marvelous.
No decision needs to be made right away.
Mm-hmm. So Geppetto will keep you hanging on by that proverbial string for a few more days.
It's like,
you
know, hey,
in terms of whether anything that could happen Sunday against the Commanders could affect any decision on the future of the coaching staff, Jerry said, quote unquote, the hay is in the barn as far as our staff is concerned.
Mike, get ready to hit the dump button because I got to say something, brother.
Hold on a minute. What that means is he's decided whether they're coming back or not already.
Yeah. And guess what? He's coming back.
Yeah, we know that.
That's what that means. The hay's in the barn.
And so, I'm loading up the horse to get out of town.
You know.
Pick a new team.
It's possible.
Yeah, come on, my mom,
by the way, he was mum on whether Cooper Rush is going to start. They should start
Trey Lance.
Why not?
Let's see what we got.
Cooper Rush has some.
Oh, he has some incentives.
Reasons to start.
Oh, yeah.
He can get a nice chunk of change. So if his contract stipulates if he plays 55% of the snaps on the season,
yes,
he gets a certain dollar amount. He's currently at 52.5, and playing in this game would take him over the 55. So Cooper Rush really wants to play Sunday.
Well, they should then they should play him.
Let me tell you
I did not know that for me to so anyone understands. I'm not trying to stand in between anybody and their money. He deserves that extra 2.5% of snaps.
No, let me tell you, if they don't give it to him, oh man.
Well, that's me and his money.
Well, what they should do is let him get those number of snaps.
Figure out the math and
out the math, whatever that is. Well, I don't know. You'd have to let him go past that because let's just say Lance goes into overtime. Suddenly the math puts him underneath 55% by the end of the.
If that happened.
Well, so you'd have to go over that.
Right.
Or they could just give him his money.
Yeah, let him play. Let Lance play the fourth or something.
Right. And let Trey Lance, let Trey cook. You know?
there is less pie.
JG in New Mexico. Let's take his phone call or her. What's up, JG?
Hey, Rich, I wanted to know if you, being a Michigan fan, would trade that Michigan win over Ohio State to be in the playoffs in Ohio State's position with two awesome wins over their last couple of games.
So you're saying...
Fun question.
Well, that's a good one.
Well, you know, so you're saying someone could wave a wand, put Michigan in the Final Four right now.
Abracadabra.
But we would have had to have lost to Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Correct.
Oh, that's a great one. Oh, this is great.
Oh, man.
Still in the sky, keep on turning.
Here's what I will say to that, JG.
Yes.
First of all, how dare you?
JG Wentworth.
You do know that, you know, it's impossible because Michigan would have had to have beaten Ohio State to have the record to get in. But you're saying forget all that.
Yeah,
and it's the current team. It's the current team is what you're saying, JG?
Yeah.
And all those kids.
National championships. What do you think about that? Wow. I don't know, Rich.
Back to back.
Oh, of course I would. I'd go back to back. And we get the kids that are basically saying I'm staying healthy for the combine. We get them back in, right? So we can get our full complement, right, JG? Is that what you're saying? We'd have our best chance to win.
One team lost to the team from up north, and then you have to. You have to take that for a year, but you get a national championship.
Because Ohio State could be in that position right now, right? They got to take that. We've won four in a row for an entire year.
Yep.
But they could be like,
yeah, your 12 game playoff system has saved the coach's job at Ohio State.
Well, which is great for us.
Right. Because you can get a couple more wins out of it, right?
You know, just, to, you know, it. Your recent history says yes, JG.
You just don't want to answer this question, dude.
No, I would take the, I'd take the Wolverines in the playoffs.
Okay.
Notre Dame.
Simple.
On behalf of all of Michigan Wolverine fandom, if I'm waving a wand and putting Michigan in the college football playoff,
why not?
I can do it.
So what I heard is, Rich Eisen wants Ohio State to win.
No.
Is that what I heard?
No.
Yes.
How dare you? JG. No, don't clap for somebody twisting my words. No, you didn't hear that, JG. You came up with this, I wave a wand, and Michigan gets into the college football playoffs, and all it would cost us would be a November 30th win over the Ohio State and the bragging rights that I currently have. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Under those circumstances, I accept those terms.
Platform, yes.
I accept those terms. Everything else that you've done, I don't appreciate.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call, JG. It's JG in New Mexico.
That's great. I like that. I like that.
You like that call, huh?
That was good.
You can go home now.
That's what we used to do on our Twitter feed back in the day, right? We would just put fire emojis and take things out of context.
Yep.
Made you think a little.
Oh, like, definitely had to think
news.
About that.
You were tapping like Gregory Hines back then.
Nice. Well done. It's a good reference right there. Spoken like somebody who's over 50.
Yeah. Well, literally three people in this room got it. I'll give you a guess who didn't.
You didn't.
Oh, because you didn't.
It wasn't a black and white movie, Brock.
No, it's not.
I know it wasn't. I said it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't honestly... I don't begrudge Ohio State for having the ability to say what they might be able to say in two wins, which is, you know, forget all that stuff about us firing our head coach because of the awful coaching job that he did against Michigan. Forget about all that. We've won it all. And, you know,
Brock would watch Running Scared.
It certainly would soften. It would soften the blow of my Canton appearance in August.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Pelissero coming up in hour number two.
Yeah, Ohio State's now minus money to win the championship.
Why wouldn't they be? Look what they just did to Tennessee and Oregon.
Smoked them.
Seriously. So why wouldn't they do that to Texas? And why wouldn't they be able to do that against either Notre Dame or Penn State? I mean...
I think we got a better
In the same way that Ohio State in the last 4 years has had something with us where they have some sort of mental block in a way.
Yep.
I would proffer to say they're the Michigan and Penn State is the Ohio State in that equation with Penn State, Ohio State. Ohio State's won that one, right? And then, of course, if no Ohio State takes on on Notre Dame than last time that happened. Notre Dame forgot to put an 11th man on defense.
Yep, right.
And Ryan Day used his first minute and a half of his post-game interview opportunity to bark out at Lou Holtz.
Fake Lou Holtz.
You know, McAfee would have a field day with that one.
Doesn't that look like a Photoshop?
Well, I know. Because
like
it
a cutout because you know, like, of the white background?
Right.
I'm sitting there thinking, did Smith put this
right?
picture
down? No. That's just they have a white background.
Yeah.
Right.
We're all rooting for Texas, right?
Is Caleb Downs in that photograph counting his money? Is that what he's saying? How much more do I get for getting to the third round? I'm wondering. I'm one to talk now, huh?
I know, right?
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, he knows some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at, like, Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie? What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.